It is my firm belief that any consciously living person residing in the Arizona Southwest must have some concerns or at least questions about the reality of our water situation in the not too distant future. It's also my firm belief that the team of bright, caring, committed people addressing the Southwest's water reality in Tucson are up to the challenge. Stay with me to learn about their efforts, including what kinds of conservation programs they're offering, where does the funding come from, and what does the future of conservation look like in Tucson, Arizona. And get ready for some good, solid, reliable answers from two people helping lead the water conservation charge. Welcome, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling. And we're going down to earth with Mrs. Green. Thanks for being a part of our world. And as always, a sincere thanks to the sponsor of the show and a valued partner and supporter of the Mrs. Green's World platform, Tucson Water. Tucson Water delivers safe, clean, and high-quality water that meets state and federal regulation. The utility also voluntarily monitors the water system for hundreds of contaminants that are not regulated by federal, state, or local governments. And to me, that is outstanding. And in case you're wondering how big a job this is, take a deep breath. Tucson's Water's Water Quality and Operations Division, environmental scientists, chemists, analysts, disinfection personnel, which I want to know what that is, system and water treatment operators and inspectors work together to monitor the quality of our drinking water at more than 200 wells, 61 reservoirs, 266 sampling stations, and 125 selected homes throughout the Tucson Water Service area. And I'm sure you're with me. That's pretty impressive. Now, please join me in welcoming Candace Ruprecht, Water Conservation Specialist, and James McAdam, Superintendent, Tucson Water. It's great to have you both here. That was kind of a long intro, but there's a lot of good stuff in that intro.
There is.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the scope of it to give us water that you can never worry about. I've never had to worry about my water in 43 years that I've lived here, it being safe or reliable. I just have to turn the faucet on. And I think it's something that, because I'm Mrs. Green, I'm very grateful for now. So I thought it would be good to start by each of you sharing, just for a short amount of time, your jobs in this very big morass of people working at Tucson Water. What do you do? What is the superintendent of Tucson Water? And Candace, what do you do?
Sure. I'm happy to go first. And Gina, you're right. It is a huge team. We are a small part of this huge team. And I think James and I both are proud to have the pleasure to try and communicate all of these different jobs within the utility and their roles in ensuring that we do have that safe, reliable water supply every day. So my job is as the water conservation manager is that I help oversee a team of individuals who are working on our rebate programs available to residential and commercial customers, our education programs. We have a very robust K-12 education program and then also a landscape training program available to professionals as well as homeowners and residents. And then I think we have our hands in a lot of City of Tucson efforts to really move sustainability forward for this region. And that's a really exciting part of the job, is having a hand in seeing that move forward on a daily basis.
You have your fingers in a lot of pies. And I know because I see you out there. It's like, oh my gosh, here, she's here too. So James, what about you, Mr. Superintendent?
So the superintendent title is just a sort of like middle manager in the water utility. There's a number of different superintendents, and it's just a layer in the bureaucracy.
I just have to say, it sounds very impressive, though.
It's right?
Like, makes me scared. It's like the superintendent of public instruction. That's when you think about it. It's like,
please,
yeah.
Let me not be compared
okay.
to that.
So you're overseeing a lot of different things?
Just two primary functions. So I work with Candace. Candace and I are kind of the management team of the Public Information and Conservation Office. And so Candace is really managing the day-to-day of the conservation programs, and I'm managing the day-to-day of our public information programs.
Big jobs. And you know what I couldn't find? How many customers do you have? Do either of you know that?
About 750,000
Yeah, and
people.
About 225,000 different accounts or different meters that we you know, yeah. are in charge of.
So then there's that. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I'm not kidding. You can tell. I was like, holy crapoli. And you don't have to do a lot of what you do, which I think is also very, very impressive in terms of the things you're screening for. So this is another great little factoid I found. From June 15th to September 30th, Tucson averages 6.08 inches of rain, more than half of our yearly rainfall average. Your department is actually working with water, and I loved that nuance. Can we start now with your conservation program that actually incentivizes people to capture and harvest that monsoon rainfall when it comes down in buckets?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. That is a good distinction. I mean, that this program that we have, which is our residential rainwater harvesting rebate program, does work with water in a way that is different from the rest of the utility, because we are providing a rebate for customers to capture that water that falls on their property and put it to what we call beneficial use. And so that could be growing plants, you know, growing trees in shade, growing a garden. Some people use it to fill their pools. But bottom line, we think about it in two different ways. Passive systems, which is when customers dig earthworks in their landscape, berms and basins to allow the water to infiltrate into the ground on their property. And then active systems are what we see around town in terms of visible infrastructure, and that's the tanks and cisterns that people install. And that allows people to collect the water and then use it in the future. So together, they really can increase the health of the landscape and the aesthetic of the landscape, because you can infiltrate water right after it rains, and then you can store some water for future use. And that program is a $2,000 rebate per property, and so it's a large dollar rebate that is available to all residential customers.
So that means if you put a rainwater harvesting system in. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And after you take a workshop, so there's a workshop attached to this rebate program to make sure that people
do it right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Yeah. And put it in the right place so that it actually captures water. There's things like that that really matter, which really matters. And, you know, in other interviews that I've done and just being out hearing presentations, it's amazing if you can just keep the water from going as fast. If you just slow it down,
yes.
it goes into the ground. What a
yes.
concept. And then we help, it helps with our groundwater. I mean, it's a multiplier effect, and all you really have to do is slow it down. And you'll notice outside with our house, we dug wells around all of the trees just because of our education here, and just slow it down in the berms where you just, you know, make, I call them little hills, where the water will just be slowed down, and it will help immensely. We'll get to see what Juan Morieta says, that we're going to see the river flowing in 50 years. I always ask him to make it 45 because I want it to happen before I'm 100. But it's like, yeah, it's really... I just want our listeners to understand, you might think you're not doing much, but you're doing a whole heck of a lot by doing that. So that's a really great program.
Can I just add one piece to that program?
Absolutely.
So we're really proud of the new arm of this program that we've launched in the last year, which is our limited income program. And what this does is remove the barriers to access to rainwater harvesting. So we've heard from a lot of customers that the initial investment that they have to make before they get the rebate can be cost prohibitive. So we've worked... with community partners, and they provide the design services, but they also provide loans and grants so that it is zero cost for these limited income customers up front, which is exciting. And we're seeing, I think within the last year, we've had over 100 of these customers take advantage of the program. So it's really
That's
blooming
huge.
Right now. It is huge.
I mean,
yeah.
It's really huge. And that is a population that is so often overlooked that will be willing, eager, and excited to participate. Kudos about that one. And you, by community partners, you work with organizations that are kind of like on the ground working in those areas.
Absolutely.
To find the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's pretty awesome. And I hope that I never want to play stump the guest, but I saw measures of what kind of, you have absolutely measured results. And if you don't know them, I know the answer to that. I'm serious. Do you guys have that memorized? No, I can see the blank stares on your faces.
Well, which numbers?
Yeah. How many customers have participated? How many gallons a month per savings? I mean, I don't expect you to have these memorized.
So I know it's over 2,000 customers.
Yes.
But I couldn't actually tell you what the gallons
it.
Of storage and savings are.
I read your
it's
stuff,
It's in the tens
man.
Of millions at this
and,
point.
Yeah, it's 750 gallons a month per customer.
Right, yes.
Like what?
I know, we just did an analysis this year, and that was determined. So that's that's great. We didn't know that up until this year.
And now Mrs. Green knows it. 25 million gallons of water saved since 2012. And think of what that could be with just a little bit of nudging the green needle forward. Okay, so that's the water conservation program. What other kinds of programs do you have in terms of conservation? Are there other types?
There are. Sure. I'll just mention quickly the rebates, and then I think one of the really exciting programs that we have is the Zanharos program. So on the rebate side, we offer residential rebates for rainwater harvesting, which we just discussed, gray water harvesting, which is up to $1,000 for customers to use water from their laundry or their bathroom sinks and showers and use it in the landscape. High efficiency toilet rebate, which is $75 per toilet.
Guilt-free flushing.
Absolutely.
When I got those in, I was like, this is guilt-free flushing. I'm not wasting 3.5 gallons of drinking water
Correct.
Down the toilet.
Yes.
It's like 1.25 or something.
Yes.
Guilt-free flushing.
And then also guilt-free washing your clothes. We have a high-efficiency clothes washer rebate, so that's $200 for qualifying models and really moving people towards selecting the most high-efficiency products available on the market. So that's residential rebates. We offer that same toilet rebate for our multifamily and commercial customers. And then we also offer what we call TAP, which is the Tucson Audit Program, and it's a customized rebate program for our business customers in Tucson. And we provide a free water audit. We make recommendations and then we build an incentive package around those recommendations. So really trying to identify for each business partner what their biggest opportunities are for saving water and helping them actually get there with some incentive behind that.
And you know, a lot of times I read articles about in certain states that 80% of the water is used for agriculture. And Arizona is one of them because we have all that those crops we're growing that are not indigenous crops that we shouldn't be growing. Cotton, pecans, you know what I mean? But it's the truth. I mean, there's a high water use for agriculture. What is it in Pima County? Do you have a sense for, I mean, businesses can save the most because they're the biggest. I understand that because there's multiple toilet flushings, multiple, you know, big buildings, big footprints. Do you have a sense for the highest use? Is it divided with business and residential?
Yeah, that's a good question. So about 75% of our water use and about 90% of our customers are residential. So the remaining quarter
Right.
of water use goes to commercial and industrial customers. We don't serve any ag customers within our service area.
And what I asked that question for is people that are listening, you can make a difference.
Absolutely.
It's not the big ag that's using the water and what good will my savings do. It's us that has to be the change and get those high efficiency toilet. They're not low flow. That was a bad rap. They are high efficiency and they
are.
Swoosh.
They meet flushing standards
yes,
and also water
do.
Efficiency
they
standards.
Are. They are. I mean, I had a fixation on high efficiency toilets for about a year. Okay, I'm interested about where does the funding come from? Does it come out of our water bill? How do you pay for the rebates? Is that a fair question?
Absolutely. You want to take that?
Sure.
Mr. Superintendent?
Yes.
Well, as a matter of fact, Gina.
So the funding for the conservation and the rebate programs and our conservation education programs comes from a fee that each customer pays. And it's the water conservation fee. It's on everybody's bill. And it's based on your usage, how much water you use. So it's per unit of water used. And that raises about, is it $3.5 million?
Close to $4 million.
Okay.
Now, yes.
But what a great way to use our money. First of all, I can have the conversation with anybody about our water is free, which is why people don't really conserve it. If we got paid, if we had to pay what the value of water is, our water bills are so inexpensive for what you're doing. So I'm never whining about a conservation fee, trust me. I think we're very blessed and just grateful for what you're doing and look at the bill. It's not, you know, unless you have a swimming pool or something like that, it might be higher, or lawn, which in Tucson, why would you? But no judgment on my part. Okay.
We are fortunate in Tucson. That's true. Not many communities have that same model of funding conservation. And, you know, there's strong political leadership here in Tucson to support conservation and sustainability. And
right, right.
We get to help, you know, have a role in looking.
It's a good partnerships with the municipalities, as they call them. Okay. Tell us about PICO, Public Information and Conservation Office. How does it help support the community goals?
So PICO is the name of our office, our unit in Tucson Water. It stands for Public Information and Conservation Office, as you just said. And it really just includes two main sections, kind of three now. But yeah. So there's public information, which, you know, we produce the website, the newsletter that goes out to all the customers, the our manage our social media channels, go to events, all those kinds of things.
Big jobs.
Yeah.
More big jobs.
And then all the conservation programs are within that office as well. And then we have just, Tucson Water just made a change. We have within our office two additional functions that include field staff. There's actually seven field staff, six field guys and a supervisor who are called the Zonjeros, and they perform free residential water audits for any of our customers. And they also, now we merged these with another group of folks, they also manage our water waste ordinance, which is a commercial. There's a rule or a law in Tucson that you can't let water just run off of your property into the street. And so we actually have a strong education and enforcement program with that. And so that team manages both of those things.
That's good for the public to know, too. I mean, I was walking with a friend a couple of months ago, and obviously someone's water had, it was either they were not being conscious or whatever. So we went and found the source, because she's walking with Mrs. Green, and the house was vacant. The owners were not there. So we went and found the maintenance person for, it was, you know, it was a gated community, okay? And we went and told, because it was flooding. I mean, it was like, holy smokes, it had been running for hours and hours. So as a citizen, be conscious of that. There's something you can do about it.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that we hear a lot about is on social media. If there's a prominent water leak, or people see water on the street on a dry day, we always hear about it. And that's one cool thing about Tucson is,
yeah,
people see and they care. And so, yeah, that's a good thing. And that's our job to follow up on that.
Right.
It is. And the best way that people can report that actually is through an app that the city has called C-Click Fix. And it's a big SCF that you find in your app store. And it allows you to take a photo, and it's geolocated and describe, you know, just check water waste. And then it gets submitted and our inspectors go address it with the customer. But yeah, it's a
C-Click Fix. I mean, it just amazes me. Everything you want to do is right in the
box.
It's so true. Everything. I found out that almost every restaurant in Tucson delivers for $1.95.
What?
I'm not kidding. My daughter comes from LA, and she goes, oh, yeah. I said, where did you get that food? And she said, oh, yeah, it's, you just have to download the app. And I'm like, okay, now a whole new world has opened to me. So I want to go macro for a minute. The both of you know a lot about the realities of the water situation in the Southwest. And from your perspectives, how are we doing? What does the future of conservation look like for water, our most precious resource in Tucson? You live here. You have children here. You have families here. How are you feeling for like 20 years down the road?
Right. Well, you know, our director, Tim Tomier, is going to be on, and, you know, he really can speak to all of the Colorado River and Basin issues. So I'll keep it focused to conservation.
Okay.
So I think I certainly feel, and I assume James feels this way, that, you know, we feel fortunate to live in Tucson because we have quite a robust water supply for our community with a lot of redundancy. And so in terms of the availability of resources, we are, you know, confident that we have water into the future. In terms of conservation, I think that, again, Tucson's a leader in the Southwest. We have one of the lower GPCDs, which is sort of a metric that the conservation community uses to look at water use in different communities. And that has dropped significantly over the last two decades, really. Enough so that we have been able to extend the water supplies that we have now farther into the future, and we're using the same amount of water that we used back in the 80s. And so with more population, we're not pumping any more water than
we
were
really
in the 80s.
Incredible.
It's a great story.
That's a great story.
Yeah. And I think just in terms of breaking it down at the residential level for conservation, indoor water use, we've seen efficiencies there just because technology evolves. You know, new products are coming on the market all the time. Toilets use less, clothes washers use less, shower heads use less. So all of that means that indoor water use is dropping. And outdoor water use has dropped in our community also. I mean, you can imagine, or you know what it looked like here 3 decades ago. There was more turf, more non-native species, and there's been a huge transformation in our landscapes. And that's a big part in thanks to the community and just the, you know, the buy-in to recognize that native species, desert adapted species that use less water are what makes sense here. And so that has decreased, but I think there's still room to figure out where the efficiencies are outdoors, and that, you know, prioritizing things that add value, like, you know, growing food or growing shade to cool the environment are, you know, great uses of outdoor water because those multi-benefits that come into play.
Anything to add, James?
You know, I think I've only been at Tucson Water for about 18 months, and since I've been here, I've learned so much about where we are in the as a community in terms of water, and I'm just so grateful and excited about it. And that's a good place to be as a public information person, right? To be excited about sharing this story, because, I mean, just to share a little story, I grew up in Southern Maine. And a couple of years ago, you know, so Southern Maine, I don't even know how many inches of rain we got because you never thought about it. No one ever talked about, oh, we got X inches of rain.
It's like, it's raining.
Oh, it's raining. It must be Tuesday. So, but a couple summers ago, they had a drought and, you know, which for us would have been a really rainy summer, but they, you know, people's wells were drying up and it was a really serious issue. And I think about what happened to Atlanta, you know, in the past decade.
Yes.
So because Tucson has been so water scarce for so long, and because the community has cared about it and valued it and focused on it, and Tucson Water over the past 3 decades has done so much education about it, we are just so far ahead of so many other communities, particularly in the West, particularly in the Southwest. So I feel really glad and happy
and
secure. Yeah.
Gratitude.
And I'm excited because everyone's so engaged about it and knowledgeable about it, and it's part of the culture here, that there's so much more we can do. And, you know, so I think we have, that's the most important thing, actually, is that the culture supports water conservation. It supports wise use of water resources. And so, you know, where we can go with that is we're very well equipped.
Water, use it wisely. I mean, I love that expression.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting in Tucson, too, because I love this community, that we had, we did a recording the other day with two people from TEP. And they had a goodie bag, and they brought it for me. And I'm glad, because I had goodie bag envy when I heard about what they were giving out. And three of the things in the bag are about conserving water. Because if you conserve water, your energy bill goes down as well. So that has to be a good partnership. They're on board with saying it's a whole big, you know, we're one community and everything we can do to help. And they're doing that train the trainer model and putting those shower heads and the water aerators in people's hands and in their homes. So that's another good thing about Tucson. Okay, so this, I was like going deep late last night when I was preparing for the show, but I really did stop and think about it. There are the long-term benefits of water conservation are, to me, the obvious, preserving our water supply. Are there other benefits?
There are. I think that's, you know, the primary and obvious outcome of using less water. But we did a study 2 years ago looking at what we call the avoided costs of conservation. So what other benefits are out there as a result of water conservation in our community over these last few decades? And what we found is that water bills are actually lower today than they would be otherwise because we've used less, which means we've needed less infrastructure. Think about, you know, if we had been doubling our water supply today, we would have needed more infrastructure, more pipes, more reservoirs to store that extra water that we would need. So because we've reduced our water use per person, we've avoided a lot of costs in infrastructure and in personnel and in operations and maintenance. And that net result is a lower bill for customers than they otherwise would have if conservation
which
had never happened.
Everybody.
Yeah, it helps everybody.
I always think of the lower income people that are so oft forgotten. That's why I'm really excited about your program. And there's a couple of other partnerships we have going on, like the Community Investment Corporation through the Scale Up program, that are making opportunities available to small business owners who are always scraping to get by and don't have money for capital improvements and all that stuff. So there's a lot of good things going on out there. So in all of this, and thank you for that answer, because to me, it's like being a good steward of the planet is a benefit. That's a benefit that comes to you. And when I think about the infrastructure, and I've had other guests from your department on, just the infrastructure, getting us clean water. Here I am, and very grateful for it. So, and I don't have to worry about my well going dry. I'm from Jersey, and our well went dry. And, it, you know, yeah. Four kids, it was not fun to be without water. Okay, in all of this, what would you say are the biggest savings opportunities? I want to emphasize that. People love to save money. You can save money and do the right thing. It's like, come on, is it putting rainwater harvesting in, or does it depend? What's the biggest opportunity here for the biggest bang for the buck?
Well, I'll take that first and then feel free to add on. So we designed our rebate programs to address, you know, where customers can save the most money. And those were intentional. Toilets and clothes washers are the biggest indoor water uses.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Followed by showers. And showers, right, are a commitment that we each have to make to not leave the water running for 15 minutes while we stand there. But really, toilets and clothes washers. And so we have rebates to help customers take that action and install high-efficiency devices. On the outdoor side, absolutely good irrigation scheduling and maintenance. So you need to make sure that you're adjusting your irrigation controller to match the season. You use more water, and you need to use more water in the summer to keep your plants alive than you do in the winter. So at a minimum, adjusting it four times a year helps use that water as efficiently as possible. And we have a monthly schedule that breaks down how much water you should use, how often, and for how long you should be watering for every type of vegetation and soil that you have. And that's on our website. So that's really residential specific. But on the commercial side, one of the biggest users of water is cooling towers, you know, the large scale systems that are needed to cool these large buildings that we have. And so making sure that those are running efficiently and that the cycles running them are accurate and that there's not a lot of waste happening in that system. And again, you know, toilets are big in the commercial sector also, and we have a rebate for that. So we've been really intentional about the rebates that we have, and we're always looking for additional savings opportunities that we could incentivize to address those higher uses.
I have nothing to add.
So here's, I must have been like in a certain space last night when I was prepping for the show, but I know both of you outside of the interview process. I run into you. We have conversations about lots of things, and you're both very passionate about what you do. It's clear. So what excites you? It doesn't ever feel like you're coming here and you're a job, like a government worker. it doesn't feel like that.
That's because we're here. This is a great place to be.
It's fun to visit.
So you love it. It has to be in you to be a part of making our planet a safer, cleaner, healthier place.
Oh man, I don't know how to answer that.
And it was like deep thoughts by Mrs. Green. I can't help it. It came out.
I am really excited. I couldn't be in a happier place. This is like my dream job, basically, because for a long time I've been very passionate about the environment and wildlife and water and mountains and all of those things. And to be in a community that really values water, of course we have a lot to learn and a long way to go, just like everybody else. But and to be working with people like Candace, who are just so knowledgeable and, you know, international experts on water.
Yes, and people come here to see what you're doing.
Yeah, and Tucson Water as a department is just, it's really well run. It's packed with all these really knowledgeable, committed people. And what are we doing? We're working on water together, you know, providing water to people. I don't know, it sounds really simple, but that's just the only thing
we cannot live without as human beings. When I say it's our most precious resource, that is not a pithy saying on my part. So, Candace, what about you? You ignite people's passions. And I've heard you present many times. It's never stale. It's always new. It's always fresh. Thanks. And that's the passion.
It is. I moved here to go to college from the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, there's presumably
lots of water there.
An abundance of water, although they also run into seasonal shortages. But I always loved the desert. And so I think, like James is saying, it feels like incredible fortune to be doing this job in a place that I love and that I've chosen to raise a family in, and to communicate to our community and to provide programs to our community that help them sort of along this mission of being a sustainable community in the desert. And, you know, we get to see the work that goes into this water system, and, you know, there's over 500 employees, and it's such a range of skills that are required. Yeah, huge infrastructure, incredible talent, and we get to see all that, and then it becomes our job to explain all of these roles and how we make this system work. It's an incredible job, and
It's contagious, which is a wonderful thing to say. So we're ready to wrap things up, but before we do, of course, I always like to get the last word. You guys know that, but how appropriate to end with this energy tip from Tucson Electric Power. Repair leaky faucets promptly. People don't understand how much water they can lose from a leaky faucet. And if it's a hot water leak, that can affect your energy bill without you even knowing it, not to mention the damage it can cause. So don't think it's just like a little drips. Check it out. If you have leaky faucets, get them fixed. And my last comment is that Mrs. Green's World is all about putting a spotlight on climate change in every way we can, because we believe it's the biggest threat facing our world today. Having a greater awareness and a broader understanding of water issues right here in our own community provides all of us with an opportunity to know better and do better. Hopefully this show provided you with such an opportunity when it comes to conserving water, the planet's most precious resource. And if you want to learn more about the many faces of Tucson Water, please visit their website at tucsonaz.gov/water. That is easy to remember. And you can just really Google Tucson Water if you're like me. I just Google everything. I don't worry about websites. Our October 16th show, I Can't Wait. I wish both of you could be here in the studio with me. Rorick Pallman, owner and operator of Pallman Farms, feeding the world. What does it take? He's a huge farmer up in the, where all those farms are, like in Iowa or something. And he spoke at a conference and talked about the complexity of delivering organic. You know, he talked about the tree huggers come after him and what it takes to make that transition to get healthy food out to the world. And then October 18th, Mindy Griffith, Executive Director of Bagit, an innovative program designed to help support newly diagnosed cancer patients and their family. So you can tell I get pretty happy about being Mrs. Green. Look at the kind of things I get to cover and the people I meet. So everybody, make it a great green, consciously lived day, and remember about water and conserving it. Learn all you can and do all you can. Thanks for being a part of my world. And thank you too for being here.
Thanks, Gina.
Thank you.